come to our study, the Lord's Prayer of the fourth request, let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to page 895, and then we'll read Psalm 49. Page 895, question and answer 125, give us this day our daily bread. What does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Let's read together Psalm 49. A wisdom psalm, one of the few wisdom psalms. I mean, they're all wise, but belonging to wisdom literature, teaching man not to boast in his own strength or power, but look for help and redemption in God alone. Psalm 49, to the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surround me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they call lands by their names, their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He's like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Like sheep, they're appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Again, verse 20. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. To put it another way, those who think that their daily bread come from themselves and don't understand that it comes from God, they live like the beasts that perish. May the Lord bless this word and instruct us in the way of faith this afternoon in the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus, of all the prayers in the world, this is the one that makes us the most helpless. What? You can't even rely on yourself for one day's worth of bread? You need God for one day's worth of bread? Are you that helpless? And the answer is yes, we are. When we talk about the self-made man, We talk about making something of your life, about willpower and self-determination, about the power of good management. We talk about self-actualization. We talk about dreaming big, and that your dreams have the power to accomplish what you dream. This is how our culture measures power. The power of daily bread lies in you. You've got the power. You've got the power. But that's godless. It's a lie. Psalm 49 says that's what the stupid man says. The fool. The self-made man in Psalm 49 is one tough dude who makes things happen. And all of a sudden, this picture of health gets a heart attack, and two nurses have to get him out of bed and help him to the bathroom. That's how strong we really are. Man is a vapor, totally dependent on the Lord's goodness and power, whether he knows it or not. There are only two kinds of people in this world: those who know they depend on the Lord's goodness, and those who don't know it. The wise who know they need the Lord, and the fools who don't. Only two kinds of people. Not those who need the Lord and those who don't. Everybody does, but those who know it and those who don't know it. Well, in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches his disciples what the saved life looks like. It's the life of faith, depending on the Heavenly Father, not only for your salvation, forgiveness, protection, but for your daily bread. Total dependence. Total dependence on God, our Heavenly Father, even for today's lunch. So that's what we're asking the Lord here to teach us how to pray. Teach me total dependence. It's about needing, learning to need the Lord, that we need the Lord in everything. It's about working, how we must work under his blessing. And it's about trusting, withdrawing trust from ourselves and from creatures, putting our trust in the Lord alone. It's about needing. Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. We're in a position of needing God, our Heavenly Father. And here's where the gospel comes in. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Our Father has come to us in Jesus Christ and saved us from self-reliance, and taught us that we have no strength in ourselves, and every good thing comes from God, whether it's material or spiritual. Teach us to live like Jesus' disciples, who know everything comes from God. We used to think that we lived by our own strength. We used to believe in the idol of self. You rescued us from that. Several years ago, a publisher wrote about why he had given up on prayer. "I don't pray anymore," he lamented. "I've given it up for Lent and also for Advent and Pentecost. How can I say without lying that God has a hand in this meal? I earned my paycheck. I went to the grocery store. I bought bread. I untwisted the tie on the bread bag. I made my sandwich. What did God have to do with it?" That's how the fool thinks. And in our sophisticated, technologically advanced society, where everything is so highly managed and machines are so reliable and the food chain is so well oiled and the cupboards are full, who really needs God? Do you? Do you? Do you open the door in the morning, the cupboard door, and ask, "I wonder if God has put bread there today?" Of course there's going to be bread. Who really needs God? That's the arrogance of wealth. That's why Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Not because wealth is bad or wrong. It's a great blessing, but it tempts us to self-reliance, and self-reliance is not only wrong, it's not real, it's not true, it's an idol. Phil Ryken writes in his book on the Lord's Prayer, listen carefully, "Material affluence in no respect lessens my need to rely on God. Being wealthy, which all of us are in our culture, relatively speaking, being wealthy in no respect lessens my need to rely on God. Actually, it increases my need to rely on God. Whoa. I'm in greater spiritual danger when I have plenty than when I have nothing. Hence, the almost greater need of the wealthy to cry out to God for mercy that they may not fail to trust him. We are utterly dependent on God's gracious provision every moment of every day. The truth is, brothers and sisters, everything we eat is a divine gift, and it's a lie to think that it's not. Praying to God to give us our daily bread, therefore, is a matter of fundamental honesty. We don't give ourselves anything. God is the one who waters the earth and makes the crops grow. God is the one who gives us life and strength to earn our bread and then to bake it. God is the one who empowers us to eat it and to digest it so that it gets broken down and turns into energy for our bodies and minds. So our daily bread is not to be taken for granted. We're utterly dependent on God's gracious provision every moment of every day. And again, Phil Ryken. Jesus says, you must never get past the point of being a needy person. No matter how full the freezer is, and how full the bank account is, and how full the silo is, and how full the warehouse is, you must never get past the point of being needy, desperately needing God for everything, even our daily bread. That's what daily bread refers to in the fourth request. All our physical needs, health, clothing, house, equipment, whatever we need to live and work and survive here on this earth in the callings God has given to us. You see, this is how the fourth request builds on the first three. Lord, if I am to hallow your name, and if I submit to your reign, your kingdom, and if I am to obey your will, I have to live. And to live, I need food. And to have food, you need to give that to me, Lord. Please give me this day my daily bread so that I can glorify your name and seek your kingdom and do your will. Bread is such an important spot in the life of God's children, in God's kingdom. Bread and all our physical necessities. And the need for daily bread is bigger than just ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. We're to pray not only for our needs, but we have brothers and sisters around the world who also need daily bread to pursue the glory of God's name and the coming of God's kingdom and obedience to God's will. And many of them are starving. And so we're not only praying, Lord, we need you to give us bread, but we need you to help us to share our plenty with others. Many are starving because of war, famine, corruption, and consumption, where the wealthy live extravagantly and immodestly and do not share their plenty with the poor. And we need the Lord to help us help others. Lord, help me open my hands to the poor. Help me to care and to share. So many needs found in this request. Psalm 49 addresses those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches. Verse 6. The psalm says they live like the beasts that perish because they have no understanding. They behave like animals. Which means they live and eat and work with no thought of God and with no thought of their own weakness. They attach their names to their lands as if to say, if I put my name on this, it's forever. They credit themselves for their food and drink and wealth. They're pompous, says the psalm. They live like they own their own lives. And how often that idolatry lives in us, and how we need the Lord Jesus crucified and risen from the dead to die to this pompousness and this self-reliance and this idolatry, and to live as needy people, not only in our souls but in our bodies. Jesus came to rescue us from this foolish, beastly life of the ungodly, to teach us how to live hand to mouth one day at a time, to believe that God alone is the source of everything good and we can give nothing to ourselves. How about you? Do you believe this? Or do you live like a practical atheist? You might throw up a prayer once in a while, but for the most part, God is not in your thoughts, and you're not depending on Him moment by moment for today. Today's food, today's work, today's studies, today's travels. It's just all automatic. It's going to go fine because I'm in control. Don't you know how good a driver I am? Even my family says so. So much boasting. And then God gets blasphemed. He's not in our understanding, and we're like the beasts that perish. Lord Jesus, teach me total dependence. Also for my working, we see secondly. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, God wants us to work for it, but the work needs His blessing too. Now, Jesus didn't intend this prayer as a replacement for working. Rather than work, just sit and pray for bread. Rather than plan, just expect everything to come your way. Rather than saving, expect things to keep coming. Just sit in your house and pray until the Purolator truck arrives and just gives it all to you. And then tomorrow the same. No. That's not what He means by teaching us to pray this. That prayer, He's not saying prayer is a replacement for working and planning and saving. The Bible is clear. Work is required for your daily bread if you're able-bodied. He who does not work shall not eat. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. It's not a command against charity. The Bible commands mercy and charity to the poor and distressed who are not able to make a living. This is a command in 2 Thessalonians 3 against those who are idle and don't want to work. So we really believe we must work for a living if we can. That's what God wants. In the book of Proverbs, God wants us like the ant to store up for the future. And God wants us to be good stewards and managers of the gifts He gives us. We're to be responsible workers and planners and savers and stewards and generous toward the poor at the same time. So this is not this prayer. It's not praying against working. God's totally opposed to laziness. Listen to Proverbs 20, verse 4. A sluggard doesn't plow in season. So at harvest time, he looks but finds nothing. He's sleeping while he should be working, and then when he's working, it's too late, and you're not going to get a crop. That's God's will. And Proverbs 10, verse 4, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Well, it's not against working, praying versus working, no. But it's a prayer that God will bless our work. The fool's mindset in Psalm 49 is that your daily bread comes from your hard work. It comes from you. It's your mind and your power and your smarts and your ingenuity that gets you somewhere. That foolish confidence that boasts in yourself, verse 13. That's what we're praying against. Jesus is saying, I want you to work hard. I want you to plan well. I want you to save hard. I want you to be good stewards. But I never want you to put your confidence in yourself, in your planning. in your savings, in your working. Because you don't have power to give yourself anything at all. You don't have power for success living in yourself at all. Contrary to the world's lie. So Jesus is teaching us to remember God in the little things. Moses warned against that, didn't he? Remember, Moses says in Deuteronomy 8 to the people as they're just on the east bank of the Jordan River and ready to cross into the promised land. He says, now remember, you get in there, you're going to live in some nice houses, you're going to get some good crops, you're going to get lots of fruit from the trees, you're going to prosper in the land of the Lord. But be careful that you don't forget the Lord. And be careful that you don't say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. How close I am to that as a pastor. The well-being of the church depends on my hard work. I hope I've learned long ago that that's a lie. And I hope we all have learned that in our work, that that's a lie. My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this far. Remember God in the big things and in the little things, the everyday things, the bread and the cheese and the meat and the milk and the water and the socks, the computer, the tractor, the pump, the house. They're not from yourself, no matter how hard you work. These came from the Lord. If you ate today, you know what the sign says, right? If you ate today, thank the Lord. Something like that. If you ate today, thank the Lord. He was good to you. He blessed your work. He blessed you with sunshine. He blessed you with rain. He blessed you with health, with strength, with teachers, with skills. No, it wasn't a lot of hard work and a little bit of good luck. No. It was the Lord's blessing, totally, totally, covering every part of you. From sunrise to sundown, and then giving you sleep afterward. It's the Lord totally. And only Jesus, believing in Jesus, can give you that kind of faith that replaces foolish, pompous self-confidence, practical atheism, with humble confidence in the Lord to bless your work. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Psalm 129. Well, that's how we should begin the day, brothers and sisters. Lord, bless what we do and say today so that no work is wasted. Every little seed we sow, every little math lesson we teach, every little phone conversation we have, every little cake we bake will do nothing good, will be wasted effort, Lord, unless you put your hand on it, unless you breathe on it, and unless you make something of it. Lord, I'm 100% dependent upon you today as I go about my schooling, my working, my traveling. Totally. And then at the end of the day, we say, thank you, Lord, for what you allowed us to get done. What was good was from you. What was sinful was from us. Forgive us, but now breathe on what we've done and use it for your glory and the coming of your kingdom, and use it to bless and build my family and to help my clients and to serve my country and to build your church. It must be blessed by the Lord, or else it produces nothing good. The wicked man may store up lots of bread in the pantry and lots of money in the bank, but it'll do nothing for him because God is not in it. God is not in his thoughts. Listen to Proverbs 15, 16 and 17. Proverbs 15, 16 and 17. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. that when God is not there, what good is it? It may feel good and look good right now, but it's wasted living. It really is wasted living apart from the Lord. And another passage, listen to Ecclesiastes 2, 24 and 25. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 and 25. Solomon knows the feeling of this because he spent so much time pursuing enjoyment and couldn't find it until, listen, there is therefore nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. Enjoyment of toil from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Apart from God, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Lord, help me to enjoy my work today. That also is from you. It's chasing after the wind. If we boast in ourselves and do not trust in the Lord for a life of total dependence, you can build up a huge empire. And again, it's a wasted life. It's again, the promise of Psalm 49, even your daily bread will in the end come to nothing. Remember the fourth petition. In line with 1, 2, and 3. We want our money and our work and our bread and our tools, our jobs. We want them to be used by the Lord in service of something far bigger than me and my own personal kingdom. We want it to be in the service of obeying God's will and seeking God's kingdom and glorifying his name. That's why we're here. That's what we're praying for. That's what we want. That's why we need the Lord to bless our work. Well, let's see thirdly. This is therefore a matter of trusting. Trusting God for your daily bread and for all your physical necessities and for blessing what you do. More than anything else, brothers and sisters, Jesus is teaching us in this prayer to give up on self-reliance and replace it with dependence. We've deeply imbibed the secular worldview. We take care of ourselves. We are in control of our health, our wealth, and our daily bread. We can guarantee these things by careful planning and regulation and, right, a little bit of luck. Catechism says it so well. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone, Lord. Help us to commit the material things of life to you. Help us to trust you for them. They are from you. Help us to see that and know that and to show that in our prayer life. Help us to believe that you are great and good and generous. And you don't skimp with your children. Here's a view of God commending him to us to trust him. Psalm 145, 15 through 19. Listen to this view of God. Psalm 145, 15 through 19. The eyes of all look to you, Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. Our God is generous. He's not tight-fisted. He doesn't skimp. He's open-handed. You open your hand and you satisfy. You fill the desire of every living thing. That's our God. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. He's near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth, and that includes calling on him for daily bread. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. This is our God. He's worthy of our trust. And as earthly fathers don't give stones to children when they ask for bread, our Heavenly Father will see to it that our needs are satisfied and we get our daily bread until it's our time to go home to heaven. You see, in a way, we work like everybody else, but we work without the fear that haunts those who always worry about tomorrow. We work without the greed that often makes workers dishonest. We work without worry because we know that it is neither our work and worry nor bread itself that can do us any good. So, brothers and sisters, this prayer is intended to replace worry with trust. Jesus is saying, I saved you with my precious blood. I brought you into the kingdom of the Father. Now don't worry about tomorrow. Don't bring tomorrow into today. You pray, you plan, you prepare, you work, but leave provision to the Lord. Ask Him to take care of you, to feed you, to clothe you, to care for your children. This prayer is really about every day handing over the whole material aspect of your life and your family's life to the Lord. Studying for tests, writing them, blessing on our teachers and schools, a blessing on our children's health, the health of our unborn children, the ability to pay our bills, the grace of having our vehicles work this morning, and if they don't, of help to get them working. Health care, civil government, the whole thing. Every day we're called to lift that up and put that under the Lord. Put that in the Lord's hand so that as we work and as we study and as we travel and as we take medicine, that we're not trying to control our own lives, but looking for the Lord's blessing upon it all to make something of it, to glorify Himself through us and to use us for His glory. That's really what it's all about. That's why it's important to pray at mealtimes. It's something Christians are doing less and less. We eat on the run. We snack. We grab and go. But what happens when we do that is we don't stop and think about what's going on and commit this moment to the Lord. Listen to 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5. The Bible tells us how to do food. The Bible tells us how to do food. 1 Timothy 4, 4 and 5. God created food and marriage to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, and it's made holy by the word of God in prayer. So take all that you receive from the hand of the Lord, receive it with thanksgiving, and consecrate it by the word of God in prayer. That's why we pray at mealtimes. It's not like the food will spoil if you don't, but it's an important discipline for remembering the Lord and living a life of total dependence. Well, may Jesus Christ bring us, brothers and sisters, more and more into a life of total dependence as we learn the meaning of the Lord's Prayer, including the fourth request, give us this day our daily bread. May we give up more and more a life of self-reliance and depending on our own work and strength and boasting in our own achievements. And may we instead give ourselves over more and more to the grace and the glory and the greatness of the Lord God, recognizing that the power is with Him. And may He rest His power upon us. In Jesus, amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that we have a God in heaven who cares for us in every part of life. And a God who is glad to hear from us in every part of life, to lift all our worries and anxieties and turn them into requests and lay these things, these burdens, these concerns in the hands of our Almighty God and Father who loves us through Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithful in relying upon you alone. Make us wise in the way that Psalm 49 is teaching us to be wise, in the way the Lord Jesus taught us to be wise. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.